4 of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Teich. Photographer Rick Widotti has spent his career capturing beauty on film. For years, he documented high fashion and the beautiful people who wear it. Today, his camera points a lens at the beauty in all of us and reminds us that a little person or someone with albinism is just as beautiful as a fashion model. Guidotti founded the nonprofit group Positive Exposure. The arts and advocacy group uses the visual arts to help people see beyond others' genetic and physical differences. He's in town for the Medical College of Wisconsin Muses event through the school's Medical Humanities program. He tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lunchy more about his organization and the photo exhibit.
We use the visual arts, photography, video, to empower individuals living with a variety of differences, but also to empower audiences as well to see. And so we do through exhibitions and through public awareness programs and lecture series. We create many opportunities for the public and also healthcare providers in training, medical students, genetic counseling students as well, to see beyond that genetic disease, to see the human being first and foremost. So through this photographic experience, we then have these beautiful images of all life-empowering and celebratory images, and then we put them on public display and public exhibition, starting at, you know, we have a show right now at the Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C. We've had shows premiere at Grand Central Station in New York City, the Berlin train station, streets of Warsaw. We have exhibitions all around the world. And these exhibitions provide an opportunity for the public to not see a disease or a diagnosis, to not stare or look away, but to see beauty in that difference eventually, and then see around that difference to what we all share, which is humanity.
Tell us the story of how you went from a high fashion photographer to the founder of Positive Exposure.
As a fashion photographer, I was living in New York City and also in Milan and Paris, and it was wonderful. I was working with great clients and great models, but I was always told who was beautiful. And as an artist, I didn't see beauty just on covers of magazines. So I was always trying to kind of incorporate a different type of beauty, or beauty that I would not see just as, you know, in your basic or traditional model casting. I left my studio one afternoon and spotted a young girl with albinism, or albino was the common term, waiting for a bus at the corner of Park Avenue and 20th. And she was so beautiful, and I realized I had never met a model that looked like this. When I went to do research on this condition to find more people that looked like her and find access to this this gorgeous kid, I found horrible photographs in those medical textbooks. There were images of diseases. There were images of people, individuals living with a variety of genetic conditions up against walls in doctor's offices with black bars across their eyes, usually in their underwear. And I thought, okay, we have to change this. So I contacted several organizations, and one particular, NOAA, which is the National Organization for Albinism and Hypopigmentation, a support group for people with this condition and their families. And I said, let's show the world the beauty of albinism. And at first, there was a lot of resistance. But then they realized that this was where we're going to partner and work together. We're going to change the way the world sees albinism. And the first person that I photographed walked in. She was absolutely gorgeous, but she walked in with her shoulders hunched, her head down, no eye contact, one-word answers. This girl was teased bitterly and abused constantly because of her difference every single day. School was a horrible experience for her. And I thought, oh, how am I going to photograph this kid? She's so vulnerable. But just the day before, I'd photographed Cindy Crawford on the same set in my studio. And I thought, you know, out of respect for her, I'm going to photograph her like I would anyone else. And so the fan went on, the music went on, and I picked up a mirror and I held it up to her. And I said, Christine, look at yourself. You're magnificent. And she saw it, and it changed everything. And all of a sudden, she just exploded with this smile that lit up all of New York City. And I realized that's how we're going to make change. That's how we're going to see the beauty in human diversity, by empowering our kids.
I would imagine, too, that merely increasing the positive imagery of people with various conditions would help itself, just the frequency of being able to see people represented in the media around us.
Absolutely. To provide an alternative to those traditional medical photographs that are currently used in medical education and in public forums, instead of showing that image of the kid up against the wall in his underwear, to show Billy in the swimming pool. So they inferred the image with a condition called Marfan syndrome. It's a connective tissue disorder. You grow very, very tall. So there's that traditional photograph of the gentleman or the young kid up against a wall, standing with his really long arms and long legs and scoliosis, Or the alternative is to show Billy in a swimming pool. You get the same amount of information in the same photo and that photograph that you need for medical identification and to see how the dysmorphic features of Marfan syndrome. But you also see the most important feature, which is humanity. So when we're changing, we're using all these images as an alternative to medical education, lecturing to medical students, giving them the opportunity to see beyond disease or diagnosis, but to what we share, humanity.
Why is that specifically important to you? Why is it important that medical students have these alternative images with which to further their medical education? I would imagine it's for them, it's the emphasis we often think should be just on the medicine. So why does it matter how it's presented to them?
Because we have to – it's for better patient relationship, patient-doctor, physician relationship, better health care, better delivery of health care. I am a fashion photographer and I can say arthrogryposis multiplex congenita, not because I studied it, but because I got to meet a bunch of kids at an arthrogryposis conference and met these gorgeous kids, and you don't forget them. So now when I go to these conferences, I bring med students with me and genetic counseling students with me, and I shove them in the daycare, and they're playing with the kids, and they're seeing these kids not in the clinical environment or in crisis. They're seeing them having fun. They're seeing them being people, being human beings, being silly and crying, but then laughing and getting hungry and just being – just living. And it's so important that we see beyond that disease. So what the most important thing for us not to see and to collect all that information that we must in any kind of a medical education is to add that humanity to things stick then. When you can say arthrogryposis. You know how to spell it because you see it and you hear it from the voices and the mouths and you see it define itself in life.
I listen to you and you are so passionate about this cause. Why? What personally drew you to wanting to see the beauty of everyone?
As a fashion photographer, I mean, I became a fashion photographer not to date models, but to kind of – because it was really about the aesthetic and of beauty. And so people sometimes say, well, you know, you switched from being a fashion photographer to photographing genetic diseases. Well, I've never photographed a genetic disease. I've always photographed people. And the idea behind this is to see beauty, which is something that I'm so just – it's just incredible to me. As an artist, it's just the most inspiring word and the most inspiring visual that I could possibly think of. But what really drove me to really make that switch from shooting, being a commercial fashion photographer in New York and Europe, I was at a conference in the UK. It was an albinism conference for the Albinism Fellowship. And there was a young girl that came up, did not want to be photographed. She had albinism. And she was teased relentlessly. Even by teachers had made fun of her in certain class and certain experiences in classroom. But she did not want to be photographed. But every time I was photographing somebody else, she'd be watching or walking by the hallway or staring. And then finally, of course, she let me take her photograph. And we had such a great time. And at the end of the shoot, she was 14 years old. At the end of the shoot, she said, finally, I can be proud of my albinism. She said, I realized, though, that the hatred and the abuse that I experience every single day will never disappear. But what has disappeared is the hatred that I felt for myself. I'm like, okay, I'm done. And that drives me every single day. And then it's the next family. It's the next story. It's the next individual who they see that reflection and they see beauty in that reflection for the first time often. And it changes everything. It drives me every day.
Has this changed your opinion of the fashion industry in terms of the images, the depiction of beauty that's kind of become standardized?
Well, I think the depiction of beauty is kind of so unattainable as it's presented by the fashion industry. But they have a product that they need to sell, and they sell that. And I don't think that we're going to try and fit all of our wonderful families and our gorgeous individuals living with a variety of differences into that standard of beauty because it just won't work that way. We have to create a new standard of beauty, and that's what we're doing one individual at a time.
So tell me about what you're doing here with the Medical College of Wisconsin.
Well, I get to speak to some amazing students. I can't wait to meet them this evening. But they have a whole celebration today of the humanities and medicine. And it's a kind of very much part of what positive exposure's philosophy is that we all know there's a lot of science in medicine, but we absolutely know that there's also passion and art in medicine as well. So this is a whole day event at the Medical College, and we have an positive exposure exhibition that has been up in the gallery there. And it really is a celebration of seeing the humanity in medicine, not seeing, again, a disease or diagnosis. So we're all supporting one another in this whole, you know, this is not a positive exposure idea. This is a human movement. It's a human movement that's happening in parallel universes. It's a, nobody wants to be seen as a disease or diagnosis. No one wants to identify somebody as a disease or diagnosis. The humanity is so important, and I'm so excited to be part of this environment that really, in this community, that really acknowledges the importance of humanity in medicine.
So when people go to see this exhibit, what will they see in these photographs?
In the photographs, they'll see celebratory images of kids living with a variety, kids and adults living with a variety of differences, with a little bio about that person, so you really kind of have a better understanding of who they are and what life is like through their perspective. My great friend Grace is featured in the exhibition, and her story is that she, you know, she has Down syndrome, and she doesn't, you know, all of her friends want to be princesses, and she doesn't want to be princess. She wants to be the queen. They'll talk, and, but it really is providing an opportunity to see beyond again, see beyond disease or diagnosis, but to see some really amazing individuals that are out there as advocates, all based on this, the philosophy and everything that we do. All of our programs have to satisfy this criteria, which is self-acceptance equals self-esteem equals self-advocacy. And our motto is change how you see, see how you change.
Well, Rick Guidotti, thank you so much for coming in.
My honor. Thank you.
Rick Guidotti is an award-winning former fashion photographer who founded the nonprofit organization Positive Exposure. His photo exhibit, Positive Exposure, The Spirit of Difference, is on display at the Medical College of Wisconsin until 4 o'clock this afternoon as part of the MCW Muses event run by the Medical Humanities Program. One last break, and then a conversation with the world-renowned violinist, educator, and conductor, Itzhak Perlman. Keep listening. This is Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. Thank you.